And I said, well, because I'm shy. Like, I'm so shy. And she said, you're sure not shy before or after a meeting, so I don't believe you. And I am sitting here, like, amazed that I'm even doing public speaking with you guys, because for years there are some women in this room that know I would just be like, I am coming in past. I wanted something you guys had. I knew I felt serenity in the meetings, but there was no way I was going to get vulnerable with you guys about how messy I was on the inside. But she pulled me aside, this dear fellow, and she said, Kel, how do you spell love? And I said, haha, I passed elementary school, like, what's the joke here? And she said, okay, then you know it's spelled T-I-M-E. And the reason I bring that up was because that has been the most valuable gift Al-Anon has given me, is the gift of time. And how do I explain something that's so valuable yet priceless? Like, how do I explain a 12-step program has given me an understanding of what my worth is today, as to who I am, what my purpose is, what I was born to do in this world today. I'll always be in awe of the gift of time, and I don't take it for granted. So I am deeply humbled to be up here and, like, tell you guys a little bit about my story. I love speaker meetings. It's my favorite because I don't have to participate, but I can watch and listen to somebody and just, like, laugh along with you guys. But today I'm on the other side of service. Last year I was here, like, sweating bullets with raffle baskets. So you guys did an amazing job with raffle baskets. I know how hard that is. The gift of time. Al-Anon has blessed me with the gift of time, and like I said, I don't know how to measure that, but I will tell you a little bit about how I slid into the disease of alcoholism like a wrecking ball. My mom was in Al-Anon for 3 years when I was born. She was married to my bio dad, who was, at his own words, the bottom of the barrel drunk, that if there was no alcohol, there was Listerine, there was a NyQuil, there was something to not feel. And good, bad, or indifferent, didn't want to feel. And of course, was raised from alcoholics. Alcoholics that spent their whole entire paycheck on alcohol, and then the kids had to eat dog food for the week. Like, they were stealing candy bars at the liquor store. My bio dad was stealing and then giving it to his siblings because they were hungry. Like, I am so fortunate that I didn't have to be raised in that, but that is the lineage of what I've come from. When my mom found out she was pregnant with me, they were at their catastrophic worst in their marriage. They had two boys, my brothers, and she was just trying to keep her head above water. There was infidelity, there was stealing of money, there was lies, all the things that you guys, I don't have to tell you, you know, come with alcoholism and the family disease. And Al-Anonism, you know, I'm not singling out, like, Al-Anons can be just as crazy, and I know that. So she found out she was pregnant, and she went to him with, like, a heavy heart and said, I have something to tell you. I'm pregnant. And he said, no, you're not. And if you are, you're going to get an abortion. And if you don't, then I'm divorcing you. And so she said, well, then I guess you'll have to divorce me because I'm having a baby. And so he did not. He made an empty threat. He still stayed in the marriage. But I will tell you that the reason I tell you the story is not for you to feel bad. It is because the 12 steps have shown me, far before I took my first breath, I have been living with this feeling of not worthy enough. I'm not good enough for my own dad, so I'm never going to be worthy enough for any other man or any other relationship. And, you know, I just figured that out a couple years ago because of the steps, you guys. I had finally seen that I'm the one that's in charge of my value. I'm the one that gets to write my story today. I don't have to go and follow the same lineage that has happened in my family. You know, I can do it differently. And to be the one person that does it differently in your families, like, I give you props. I clap for you because my mom was outed by her family. They thought she was in a cult. And she definitely had to work her program and learn that wonderful B word, which is boundaries. And I had no idea I was being Al-Anon my whole life, you guys. I thought my mom was just the most, like, intellectual, perfect wisdom. Like, why wasn't she a doctor? Like, that's what I thought. And then when I'd come into these rooms after she had passed, somebody would say something that sounded like what my mom would say. And I'd say, oh my gosh, she stole that from somebody else. Like, it wasn't her. And it was really a lot of fun in the beginning because someone would say something, but one of my favorite things to tell you guys, growing up, I had a lot of tools because my mom worked a hard Al-Anon program. One of her tools would be like, Kelly, all you have to do is say, God grant me the grace to keep my tongue in my face. And that was one of the tools as a teenager, because as an Al-Anon, I get very reactive. I have big emotions, and I need you to know, well, I love you. And this is how I show you with these big emotions. But I didn't know that there's so much unhealthy traits that happen with love. And I was a product of that. And, you know, the 12 steps going back, the 12 steps have shown me that it didn't matter that Bob, my biological dad, had a disease of alcoholism. It didn't matter, you know, that my mom was even working the program. I had to grow up knowing that I'm worthy of being here because I was created by something bigger. The 12 steps, thank you, have given me an idea of what my worth is today. And, you know, today I get to walk that out, and that's why I think I'm up here with you guys. But alcoholism was at its catastrophic worst. And by the time I was 6 months old, my mom had had enough with the Al-Anon. She said her bottom was being in the grocery store. She had a recipe card, and it said, get potatoes. And she had all of us in the car, and my brothers were flipping out. And she said, oh my God, there's like five different potatoes. There's russet, there's gold, there's purple. And she just broke down because she was no longer able to make a decision for herself. Like, and I tell you that because I resonate with that. As an Al-Anon, I'm like, I don't trust myself. I don't trust myself, and my sponsor reminds me, Kelly, it's just how you're affected by the disease of alcoholism. It's just a byproduct of that. And today, with the 12 steps, with help, I get to learn a deeper trust in self because I have a connection with a higher power today that guides my life. So she'd give me these tools, and the potato thing. Mom would say, that was her bottom, is not knowing how to pick a potato, and this guy came over that worked there, and he's like, ma'am, are you okay? And the kids were, I was crying as a baby, and the kids were fighting, and she just said, I don't know what potato to get, and she fell to the ground, and he said, it's really not that big of a deal. And she said, no, you don't understand what it is. Like, it is, but that was how bad it was. By the time I was 6 months old, she gave my bio dad divorce papers, and I will tell you, I only met him twice in my life, my biological dad. He was a part of my brother's lives, and I remember thinking as a kid, well, what's wrong with me? Like, why was he there for the boys? But then by the time I came along, I wasn't good enough, and my mom used to tell me, Kelly, because the disease of alcoholism progresses, and by the time you were born, it had really progressed and done a number on them. And I remember having a hatred and anger towards, you know, alcoholic addicts who I'm very drawn to. And she would tell me, Kelly, go learn some compassion. And I'm like, okay, where do I learn that? And she said, go to an open AA meeting. And today it is one of my most profound tools, part of my recovery. At least two times a week I go to open AA meetings. Because it helps me understand that I'm no better or worse, and I've just chosen different things to numb, to obsess over, you know, all the things that we deal with. I am no better or worse, and I'm so grateful. And I'm in the beginning of step work, my sponsor had me do the doctor's opinion from the Al-Anon perspective. So anytime I said drink, I would say think, obsess, fear, all the things I go through. And by the end of that, she said, you're no longer as mad at your bio dad as you once were. And I was like, really, you can see that? And she's like, definitely, look at what you've stated here. And I think from that day on, it has been a way to love him. You know, a way to be so grateful that he had alcoholism because it forever changed the directory of my life. Like, I am so grateful. I will tell you that he died on Christmas Day of his disease in 2006. And, I have a lot of compassion for that today. I was really angry. I was like, oh great, you know, another person I've lost in my life. I'm not worthy of anything. But I was placing a value on a human being, and today I know not to do that. And that's one of the things the steps have helped me with. And like I said, I grew up with a lot of good tools. As an Al-Anon, I'll tell you a little bit how I was before. When you would say fire, I would scream and react. And today, with a little bit of help with the steps, I know to, like, I said it in a meeting yesterday, somebody's urgency isn't my emergency, and I still react so quickly when someone says, Kelly, jump. And there's a page in our literature that says, if you're sitting at the table and somebody says, hey, pass me the salt, how quick I am to pass the salt, trusting your serenity. Like, I'm really guarded with that one today. I won't just hand that over. But it is so quick in my Al-Anon disease how I can get affected by another person's behavior, and that can spin me out of control, and I obsess, and I stay up for days, and I do all the same things. But learning the compassion has been the biggest gift. And nobody wants to die of their alcoholism. You know, I thought that he drank at me. And I thought, like, oh, there's something wrong with me because he was there for the boys. And today I know what a gift it was that he knew enough, even in his alcoholism, to remove himself so that I didn't have to grow up with that. I didn't have to grow up in active alcoholism. Today I choose recovery instead of reprimanding myself. Today I choose reflection instead of rumination. You know, these are the tools that I have today. Today I choose harmonize instead of catastrophize or minimize situations. Today I have spiritual clarity, but the fog had to be cleared from steps. I couldn't have done it on my own, you know, like, and I'll never stop being a proponent for steps because I'm amazed, especially in working with others, how the steps really help you find yourself. Like, you come alive and you understand that you have a backbone and you have a purpose in this world. And I was like the most meek, shy person you could ever imagine. And today I just think, like, my mom's somewhere out there just cheering me on, because what brought me through the rooms finally was her death. It was not alcoholism anymore. I could not look at myself in the mirror and be happy with what I was looking at. And I thought that was just how I was gonna live. I thought, like, you know what? My siblings are doing great. So what's wrong with me? I just haven't figured this out. But that gift of time has really shown me that I needed to sit in it. I had to steep in it. I had to be very uncomfortable in the pain, to be willing, just the tiniest bit, to do something different to get out of it. And my sponsor says, Kelly, you're really good at smashing your head against the wall and bleeding before you do something. And that hurts, you know, to know that I beat myself up that bad, that I take the steel bat and I just whip myself. And yet today, like, program says, okay, we look in the rearview mirror. We don't stare back at our past. You know, we look forward on what we can do today with the tools that I have today. And again, I want to make the message clear that my mom did it differently in my family, and now today I get to keep the chain broken, and it's a lot easier to keep it broken, guys. There are parts of me that want to go right back to the insanity, I am so drawn to it. It is like in my DNA. I've only dated alcoholics and addicts. And they have something I want. They really do. They've got charisma. They've got this joy. They are funny. And I'm like, that's what I want for the rest of my life. But when I was with my ex, my mom said something to me. She said, why are you attracted to him? Because, guys, I was on a different level than where he was at the time that I met him. He was just all about partying. And I was like, oh, this is fun for the summer, but not my whole life. And my mom asked me that. And I said, Mom, it's just for the summer. I will tell you that summer lasted 10 years. But I'm really grateful for that summer. That summer really showed me how sick I am, how sick I become. I still become. Being in a relationship with an alcoholic or addict. There are a couple things I wanted to make sure I put. I've got my time coming up. Pain has purpose. I would have never believed that when I first came through these doors. I would have said you're crazy. If somebody would have told me that your life is gonna get so good because of 12 steps, I would have said you're crazy. Like, there's no way, there's no way. Kelly is only meant to be mediocre. I'm not meant to be seen. I'm not meant to be below, but there's something in there that's just average. Don't look at me. But yeah, make sure you say hi and acknowledge me. You know, like, there's something in there. But everything is rubbed against my unworthiness wound, and I see from the moment I was in utero, I believed I'm not good enough. And the story of Al-Anon has been able to help me. Not only are we worth so much more, like, you know, I settled for crumbs. Today I say I get the whole cake, the sprinkles, and the candle. Like, I am worth that much today, and I understand that. I'm not asked to be perfect, you guys, and I'm not. And I always tell my sponsees, like, I'm not always available. I'm not a mom. I'm not married. There are so many things I don't have in common with my sponsees, but I tell him the one gift is have 5 numbers on your phone when I'm not available because God wants you to reach out to somebody else. You know, I'm only here to hold your hand. I am your biggest cheerleader. I can't tell you how my life has changed because of my sponsees. Like, I'm going to be at a loss for words. The love that I experience because of my sponsees working their program is something that, again, I can't put a value on. It's utterly priceless in how it's changed me, how it's humbled me to see someone growing through their pain and saying, like, you know what, today's a bad day, but it's not a bad life. Like, that tiny perspective that changes is just such a gift to me. I will say that before I came here, I had what I call a microwave thought, which is like one prayer and God answers right away. And the steps have shown me that really I have a crock pot thought. And patience really is a virtue. You know, I need to sit with it. I don't need to react today. I like to say that I have this beautiful blinked out pause button on my belly and that I'm in charge of pressing that. I love the acronym for pause. It's paying attention until serenity emerges, or practicing awareness until serenity emerges, and that I'm in charge of that. That's my job. I will finish with this. Words can't, they don't come to mind to say how grateful I am that I had a mom that worked a program my whole entire life. I didn't know I was being Al-Anoned until after she passed away, but being in that grief and missing her so badly gave me her back when I walked through these rooms. And I met up with some of her friends, and I was so terrified to see them without her, you guys. Like, she was my security blanket. And I thought, I can't do this. I can't do this without her. I'm that codependent. And yet, I reached out to somebody else that held my hand. Well, I felt like I was going to crumble. I just didn't think like I was worthy enough. And I thought, I don't even have alcoholism that's bothering me right now. So how am I worthy of sharing about anything? Like, I didn't want to share about my grief, but it was bursting at the seams every time I'd open my mouth. And the sponsor said, Kelly, don't you think everyone is in grief when they come through that door? And I was like, oh, okay, yeah. And I know today grief doesn't just mean death. There's so much grief in the family disease of alcoholism, and I have dealt with it, and I'm still dealing with it. But today, because I work a program, I have damn good relationships in my life, and they know the B word. And they don't necessarily like it, but they respect it. And they say, we know you're working your Al-Anon program. And that's all I could ask for, is this respect that I believe I give to them, and I hope they give to me, but I'm still okay, even if they don't give it to me. And I just want to thank you guys so much for the gift of your TIME.